This is Mark 7, 1 through 23. The Pharisees and some legal experts from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean hands. They were eating without first ritually purifying their hands through washing. The Pharisees and all the Jews don't eat without first washing their hands carefully. This is the way of observing the rules handed down by the elders. Upon returning from the marketplace, they don't eat without first immersing themselves. They observe many other rules they have been handed down, such as the washing of cups, jugs, pans, and sleeping mats. So the Pharisees and legal experts asked Jesus, "Why are your disciples not living according to the rules handed down by the elders, but instead eat food with ritually unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you hypocrites. He wrote, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are human words. You ignore God's commandment while holding on to rules created by humans and handed down to you.'" Jesus continued, "Clearly, you are experts at rejecting God's commandment in order to establish these rules. Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and the person who speaks against father or mother will certainly be put to death. But you say, 'If you tell your father or mother everything I'm expected to contribute to you is Corban, that is a gift I'm giving to God,' then you are no longer required to care for your father or mother. In this way, you do away with God's word in favor of the rules handed down to you, which you pass on to others, and you do a lot of other things just like that." Then Jesus called the crowd again and said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing outside of a person can enter and contaminate a person in God's sight. Rather, the things that come out of a person contaminate the person." After leaving the crowd, he entered a house where his disciples asked him about that riddle. He said to them, "Don't you understand either? Don't you know that nothing from outside that enters a person has the power to contaminate? That's because it doesn't enter into the heart, but into the stomach, and it goes out into the sewer." By saying this, Jesus declared that no food could contaminate a person in God's sight. "It's what comes out of a person that contaminates someone in God's sight," he said. "It's from the inside, from the human heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual sins, thefts, murders, adultery, greed, evil actions, deceit, unrestrained immorality, envy, insults, arrogance, and foolishness. All these evil things come from the inside and contaminate a person in God's sight." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. Amen. So first, church, I want to apologize. And I knew it was Betty, and I think when I said Herbie, I apologize. I feel very bad about that. I think all week I've been struggling. I think this is one of those weeks where I'm tired and I got sick again somehow. I don't know what this is, and everything seems off this week, and I apologize about that. So I think I'll still preach the sermon that I wrote, but with the understanding that everything feels weird. So this past weekend, I miss you. I know that Pastor Hazel is with you, and I was on a retreat with the youth group. Even from Friday, everything started to fall apart. Jalicia, one of our youth group students, had a bad cold and couldn't make it, and so it was just the triplets, and Christine, our other youth group leader, and myself, and we went on this trip, and it was a great time, and the youth kept asking if we could go back next year, and that when we go back next year, could we bring Jalecia with us, and could we bring Emily and Sarah with us, and I said, yeah, you can invite your friends, and they really seemed to enjoy it. And so on the drive home, we all fell asleep at one point. I was in the passenger seat. Christine was driving, she stayed awake. But at one point even I dozed, and the students were asleep for most of the car ride. And so we got home, and I received the call that Lucy Hoffman was in the hospital. And I went to visit, and she passed about an hour after I left. And so then I spent all day Monday catching up on all the things that I missed for being away for a weekend. Tuesday, I met with Marilyn and Lorraine, Lucy's daughters, and planned the funeral. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday came before I knew it. Yesterday was the funeral, and we are here today. And somewhere in there, I got sick again. I don't know. It's probably just like postnasal drip. That's what it feels like, but it doesn't sound good. So last week, before the youth retreat, I was on Facebook scrolling, and I came across something that I'm pretty sure Howard's granddaughter shared, Samantha. And it caught my eye, and I've spent the past 2 weeks talking about this and thinking about this. And so we're going to start here, and it's a little out there, and I apologize. It'll connect later. The first thing, I'm going to ask you to do something that I personally hate, and I apologize, but I think I know now why I hate this. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. So please close your eyes, and I want you to imagine in your mind's eye a red star, a five-pointed red star in your mind, and if you can, spin the star or move the star. Make the star bigger or make the star smaller. All right, now open your eyes, and I'm going to ask very specific questions because this is something that blew me away. Who can actually see the star in their mind's eye? A red star. Raise your hand real quick. Okay. Who sees like a star? It might not be red. Maybe it's like gray or shadowy. Did they see an outline of a star? Who sees nothing? No star. Okay, wow. That is, okay. That's the opposite of what's supposed to happen, which is interesting and fantastic for me at least. I don't see anything. When I close my eyes, I see nothing. I see a yellowish, blackish kind of the inside of my eyelids. That's what I see. Okay. Awesome. Okay, so there's a I don't want to say an ability, it's the lack of an ability. It's called aphantasia. It's the inability to visualize in your mind's eye. So it's supposed to be 5% of the population cannot do this. Apparently it's 5% of Port Colden who can, and that's okay. So here's what's mind-blowing, because all of my family can, Alyssa can, and so for the majority of us in the church, there are people who can actually visualize in their mind a red star, that they can see it. And okay, yeah, and Megan goes, of course I can. So then for those who could see it, there are people like myself and like the majority of those around you who don't see anything when we close our eyes. Like I see nothing when I close my eyes. So it's even worse when I talk to Alyssa about this. Alyssa asked me, well, when you're falling asleep, like, and you're counting sheep, what do you do? And I'm like, I thought that was just like a phrase you said. Like, I don't see sheep in my mind. I count numbers. Like, when I go to sleep, I close my eyes and there's nothing, and I get bored and I fall asleep. That's how sleep works for me. And she goes, no, I imagine things, or I see sheep, and I count the sheep as they hop over the field. And I'm like, wait, you really see sheep? So this is a huge, and this has been revelatory to me. We talked about this at youth group, and the youth group was about split 50-50. Half of us could see things, and half of us couldn't see things. And then those who could see things started making fun of me because I couldn't see anything. And so that was the whole weekend. So, okay, interesting that so many of us cannot see anything. I've been talking to everyone about this. I talked to my brother about this, who then went to work and asked every single one of his coworkers. And one of our friends, her name's Nicole, she's a psychologist, psychology major. She said that she thinks that the numbers are actually flipped. That only 5% can see things, and the rest of us can't, but we just don't want to feel left out. And I think that might be true as well. So I find it interesting, especially having done so much reading, and now I've joined Facebook groups, and I'm trying to figure out why this is happening. I find it interesting because when Megan was reading the text this morning, I can't imagine the scene that is happening in the text. Jesus is standing there with the Pharisees. I know what Pharisees look like because I've seen movies and I saw the Jesus Sight and Sound last year. I know what Pharisees look like. I could tell you what they look like, but I can't picture them in my mind. I know what Jesus might have looked like because there's a couple of stained glass windows in here that have different ideas of what Jesus would look like. So I can imagine that, and I know that. And setting the scene, I can't really place it. I really read the words of the text and say, okay, well, that's, you know, this is what Jesus is talking about. But even, and I've been reading the text all week, even listening to Megan read the text, I got a little, it was hard to pay attention. And I hate to say that about the Bible, but it was hard to pay attention. It was 23 verses, and there was no action going on. It was just Jesus and the Pharisees, and then Jesus and the crowd, and then Jesus and the disciples just talking, which was very boring for me. And boring because I can't envision what they're doing. So I thought that was interesting, and I'm surprised that the hands were so different, but that's awesome. Okay, so the text this morning, Jesus is walking with his disciples. We're almost at the end of Act 1 of Mark, and the disciples are eating food from the marketplace, and the Pharisees look at them and they say, whoa, you're not washing your hands before you eat dinner. And so Jesus says, you know, you guys got it all wrong. And growing up, I thought that I didn't have to wash my hands before eating supper. And when my mom asked me why, I said, well, Jesus said so. But that didn't end well. So Jesus says to the disciples, he says, you guys are getting it wrong. You're misunderstanding it. Remember, the Pharisees are these legalistic temple rulers. They were reading the word of God and they were deciphering it and coming up with rules based on the Bible and saying, you know, well, here are the clean people and here are the unclean people. Leviticus says that if you have a limp, if there's something wrong and you have a limp, then you should not approach the altar of God. If your sight is wrong, if you need glasses or you can't see well, then you should not approach the altar of God. If you have blemishes on your skin, if you've acne, you should not approach the altar of God. And so the Pharisees took these Levitical prescriptions, took these Levitical rules, and said, well, these are people who are clean, and these are people who are unclean. These are people who are worthy, and these are people who are not worthy. And then started talking more and saying, well, you have to be clean to come to the altar of God. You have to wash your hands before you eat, or else the food might make you unclean. You have to approach the altar and not have a lip, or else you are unclean. You have to do all these things. And this is what the Pharisees were doing. They were writing all of these rules for the Israelites to follow. And so Jesus comes and he says, you guys got it all wrong. You guys are completely misunderstanding it. You're not obeying the commandments of God. You're instead substituting them for these rules of humans. You're not obeying the commandments, you're obeying rules. It is not what you put into your body which makes you unclean. It is what comes out that makes you unclean. It's not what you put into your body. It's not the sandwich that you eat that makes you unclean. It's not the fact that you didn't wash your hands before you ate, although you should, because ew. But it's what comes out that makes you unclean. And Jesus lists the very acts that make us unclean. He says, it's from the inside, this is verse 21, from the human heart that evil thoughts come, sexual sins, thefts, murders, adultery and greed, evil actions, deceit, immorality, envy, insults, arrogance, foolishness. These things come from the inside and contaminate us on the outside. It's not internal factors that make us unclean. It's not whether you wash your hands or need to wear glasses that make you unclean. It's our internal sin, our internal brokenness that makes us unclean. John Wesley talked about the human soul being diseased. He literally uses the word diseased. We're made in the image of God and we're broken. And so we are diseased, we can't help but sin. And we're in need of what Wesley would call the great physician, the great doctor of our souls. That our souls are sinful and we are waiting for grace, that we are waiting for God to fix our souls. That if left to our own devices, our sin would cause us to steal and be greedy and hate each other and cause us to reach out in anger and war, that our sin is what makes us unclean, our sin is what makes us unworthy. And so we are waiting for God to come and heal us. We are waiting for God to come and forgive us. We are waiting for God to make it so our sin does not make us unclean. And so what Jesus is saying is that there's a different way. He's saying it to the Pharisees and he's saying it to us that instead of worrying who should and shouldn't come close to the altar, instead of worrying about who is worthy and who is not worthy, who is clean and who is unclean, who is unworthy or who is unable, Jesus is telling us that it's nothing that we put inside that makes us unclean. He says it's our sin that makes us unclean. Our sin that makes us unworthy. Our sin that makes us steal or hurt or fight or steal. It's our sin that bubbles out of us and causes us to be evil. To be racist or ageist or sexist or ableist. It's our sin that makes us hurt one another and that we have the ability to fight that sin. We have the ability to fight the urge to stand up and say no. To make a stand and say no, I will not be unclean or sinful or evil. We have that ability to fight and to fight back. When Jesus went to the cross, when he died on the cross, he died knowing that we are sinners. He forgave our sin, but did not take away our sin. Jesus is fighting against the sin. He's helping us fight against our sin, helping us overcome and instead live lives that are full of grace and full of love. Our sin has been forgiven, but not removed. We still sin. My brother called me this week, and I was having a rough week, and so I yelled at my brother. I yell at my brother a lot. I don't know why he keeps calling me back. Because he loves me, that's why. And I'm a jerk to him. It happens time and time again. It's as if we can't help but sin. One of my classmates in a paper he's writing for to become a pastor, to be ordained, he says we are hell-bent on sinning. And that's pretty accurate. We can't help but sin. There is something wrong with humanity, something wrong with ourselves that we can't help but sin. And so our sin has been forgiven. That has occurred. But our sin has not been removed. We are still struggling and we are still fighting. We are still having that battle
against the tendency to lie or cheat or steal or be greedy or envious or arrogant. We are fighting. That is what Jesus is doing, is to fight the very nature of our sin, to fight back the urges that make us sin, that maybe we can live lives worthy of love. It's not food or whether or not we wash our hands or if we can see red stars that make us clean or unclean. It's about how much we push back against that tendency to sin, how much we fight the urge to sin. That's what matters. That's what the commandments are all about. It's how we fight the nature of sin and instead honor God. It's how we fight racism or fight ageism or fight ableism or sexism or all the isms in the world. That is how we honor God and honor each other, by fighting our tendency to sin, by standing up and saying, no, I won't do that anymore. And so this week, as you're going to work or to school or eating your sandwiches or reading your newspapers, I don't know why that's in my sermon, as you're going about your week and you realize that please understand that you are not unclean, that you are not unworthy. It is your sin that is unworthy. It is your sin that is unclean. It's when your sin controls you, when you let your sin get the better of you, that is when we become unclean. But you yourselves are worthy and clean and full of love. And so this week, identify that sin. When your brother calls you, maybe not yell at him. Instead of taking 78, maybe take 22. Take an extra 20 minutes to drive so you're not cursing at all the other cars that are cutting you off on 78. Instead of when your neighbor comes over getting all upset and frustrated with them, instead of screaming at your brother, whatever that sin is, identify it and own it and say, no, I will not do that anymore. It is not what we put into our bodies which makes us unclean. It is what comes out. It is our sin that comes out that makes us unclean. It is our tendency to be greedy or angry or thieving or stealing or whatever it is. That is what makes us unclean. And so this week, figure out how to spot it. Figure out how to stop it, how we can follow God's commandments and follow God's laws, how to visualize that red star and be the person that God knows you are. Be the person that God loves. Be the person that goes out and loves others and makes the world into a better place. Go out and be clean. Amen. Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.